Good morning. The peace, the blessing, and the joy of the Lord be upon all of us this morning as we come to say thank you to God for all that has happened in this past week and all that we know will happen in the coming week. I was telling a few people in the hallway that I believe I am officially partied out. We have, for the last 4 weeks, we have done birthdays, we have done anniversaries, we did baptism, and yesterday we did Dorothy's 90th birthday party, and she was still going strong, and I was not. So I'll be ready to party again tomorrow, but it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and to have that energy renewed for a different kind of partying, for a service and for the outreach and the ministry that we do from this congregation. I want to welcome visitors. I see a few faces that are not foreign to us, but we haven't seen real often, and so we are very glad that you are here, as well as those of you who are here every week. We'd like you to take a moment to take the pew pad and fill it out and let us know that you have come to worship with us. And especially we want to welcome Margaret Gumma again with us this morning. Melody is out for the day. And so, Miss Margaret, thank you always for sharing your gifts with us. There are several other announcements, but I am going to start with our outreach committee.
And the winner is the Pleasant Grove Food Pantry. Amazing. 244 cans.
Something in that neighborhood. And it looks like we have surpassed the $900 mark in donations, and we thank all of you for your generosity. We thank you for reaching out to your friends, your neighbors, people you can work with. It's been a wonderful outpouring of generosity. So we want to thank God. So let's have a team huddle up and a prayer. And then after the prayer, on three, God is great. So let's bow our heads and thank God for His generosity. Thank you, Lord God, for leading us in this team effort. We thank you for your generosity in helping people to give to this wonderful effort. We thank you for the blessings of this congregation. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon those who will be served. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us to guide us and to inspire us to help others. And Jesus Christ, we thank you for teaching us to love our neighbors, to help those who need help, and to be generous givers. And it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. On three, God is great. One, two, three.
God is great.
Amen.
We can do a whole lot of things, but when a tummy is empty, it needs to be filled. So thank you very much. Janelle, if you have not noticed in the bulletin this morning, Miss Janelle is now leading the charge for seniors. And so it is going to be a wonderful time. Do you want to invite or do you want me to? Okay. Just know that this Friday, which is sort of a different way of doing things, this Friday we will have Seniors Day out here at the church, and everyone is invited. You do not have to consider yourself a senior or not. If you are moving slowly like me, you can come. So, but come and enjoy that time together in fellowship. Think announcement-wise, multiple things in the bulletin. Multiple things. We are heading into the Lenten season, and so be aware of all of the study and worship opportunities, and there will be more in a couple of weeks in the bulletin. You'll find out some more about some times of prayer during our Lenten season. For our prayer concerns, first of all, we are glad, Jack, that you are back in worship with us and that you have some renewed energy and strength, and that is a blessing. The other announcements or the other joys and concerns that are on there, if you were to ask Miss Betty Smith what she was hospitalized for, she would say, oh, just take your choice. You know how she is. She is, she had some medication issues and just some strength issues, and she is doing fine, and I know that she would love to have a card, a call from you all, and so please do that. The rest of the prayer concerns you have in your bulletin, and our prayer family for the week, Fred and Charlene and their family, and we certainly keep you all in our prayers. If you are looking for a place where you can come each week and give thanksgiving to God, if you are looking for a place where you can come and you can find mission and ministry to do in the name of the Lord, and if you're looking to find a place that has the joy of the Spirit, Eastminster's a good place to be. And so if you are looking for a place to call your church home, to have a church family, we would love for you to come to visit, to get to know us, and to become part of this family of God here at Eastminster. I believe those are our announcements for this morning that I'm aware of, except youth. Youth, you will be meeting immediately after worship, I guess down in the fellowship hall to eat first and then to go into the youth room. So please stay for that. Other than that, it is a good day to give thanksgiving to God. And so I ask us in the spirit of worship to still our hearts and our minds. Give our attention to the Spirit that is already in this room and join our hearts together as we pray. Come, Holy One, teach us your ways. Lead us in your paths and guide us on our journey. O God, be in our hearts this and every day.
Morning. Happy are those who are without blame. Blessed are those who walk in God's way. Happy are those who are faithful. Blessed are those who seek God. We will obey your word, O God. Blessed are we when we walk in the ways of God. And y'all can be seated. God's ways challenge us to move beyond easy answers and to embrace hard choices that come with caring for others. When we have failed to nurture God's ways with wisdom and courage, we are still loved and forgiven. Together, may we confess our need for God's grace and continuing walk with us. Loving God, your holiness makes us more than uncomfortable. In times of surface living, when we think we are doing well in relationships and actions, we often gloss over your demanding call to fulfill your teaching. Forgive us, we pray. Prompt us to realize how totally every one of us relies upon your grace. In Christ's name, we offer this prayer. Amen.
And here is a word that we can completely trust, that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. And that means you, and that means me. Thanks be to God. Amen.
By the power of your Spirit and through the gift of your holy word, shine your searchlight, O God, into the deep recesses of our hearts and teach us to be both hearers and doers of your word. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today is from Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. And in this reading, Moses offers the people a choice between life and death, challenging them to love and remain faithful to God and God's commandments, and promising them prosperity and blessing if they do. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
Thank you.
Our New Testament lesson this morning is from the epistle of 1 Corinthians. And imagine this, church people fighting. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Happened back then, still happens today. And if we will but listen to the words of Paul, just maybe, we might begin to understand that there really is a better way. Listen for the word of the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you aren't ready for solid food. Even now you're not still ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of flesh. You are behaving according to human inclinations. And when one says, well, I belong to Paul, and the other one says, well, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos and what is Paul? They're servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants, the one who waters does have a common person, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. In God's eyes, each and every one of us is important enough to be on the same team. The grass withers, the flowers fade, the incredible, wonderful word of our Lord lasts forever and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Young disciples, would you like to make your way to the front? We could even bring our youngest one up here if we want to.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? You know what? I brought some envelopes for you, so I'm going to give each one of you an envelope. How about that? Here's one for you, Derek, and Dylan, and Sophia, and Alex. Here you go. Hannah, here you go. Sophia, and Alex, here's one for you, too. There you go. Now, let me just tell you a story about the offering. You know, when Kayla was 3 years old, I used to give her four quarters every Sunday for offering. And just one particular Sunday, I didn't have any quarters, so I gave her a dollar. And I looked over, and she had big old crocodile tears, just crying. And I'm like, what is the matter, Kayla? She goes, they won't take this. They only want quarters. And I said, Kayla, I promise you they will take the dollar that's in your envelope. So, you know, that's what I want you to think about. You know, when we give to God, he just takes any kind of money we can give. And that's what I want you to think about, too. How many of you had a pretty good week this week? Did you? Did you make anybody angry this week at school? Or did somebody make you angry? Did you have any arguments maybe with your brother or your sister? Or maybe somebody at school? What about, have you said something that maybe that wasn't true? Maybe to somebody? Do you know what the word forgive means? What does it mean? It means that they will forget what has happened to them. And that's what I want you to think about. Even though you might have done that this week, just know that God will forgive you for whatever you have done. Can we remember that this week as we go through? And you know what? Let's go ahead and pass around the offering basket. Let's put them in there. And what I put in is dollars for all of you. So we just, there you go. Yes, you did. All right, let's have a quick prayer. Father, we know we have sinned against you and said things that we really didn't mean. We ask that you forgive us and please be with our offering, be with our offerings to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, you know what's coming. Grumbling and griping and mistrusting and misbehaving. That's what landed the Israelites in the desert wandering around for 40 years. And as we get to our passage today, they're standing here on the edge of the promised land. And Moses is standing with them. And as they are poised to go into this land of milk and honey, Moses is still having to remind them that they have a choice. You know, you would kind of think that after 40 years of running around in the dust and dragging your stuff along, that you might kind of figure out it's better to be thankful. But I started thinking about that, and I thought, you know what, at 58, I'm not sure that I have the thankful thing down very well myself. And so, I think that knowing the blessings that we have when we are living in a covenant relationship with God, and knowing the consequences when we are not living in that covenant relationship, it is a very personal thing. I know when I am not walking in the ways of the Lord. And when I am not, I feel like the community that surrounds me suffers the consequences also. And I have a feeling that's kind of like it is with all of us. We have a decision to make. Are we going to live the blessed life that God created for us? Are we not? It's actually, well, I started to say it's that simple. Maybe it's not quite that simple. But there is a choice, and we can make it. We don't have a Garden of Eden anymore. We sort of messed that up. But what we do have is we have an invitation from God to have a garden for life. And somehow I think perhaps those temporary moments of those beautiful gardens really doesn't stack up in the end to a garden for life. When we allow the Spirit of God to continually plant those new seeds of faith in us, and when we put ourselves in a place where those seeds can be watered, and once they are watered, when we put ourselves in a place where we can say thanksgiving to God, that's living in a garden for life. It's not temporary. It's not momentary. God's garden is not like this one place in time or space. It is about letting the master gardener lift us up and give us this gift of ongoing, maturing faith that each and every one of us need. The Garden of Life is about letting God, who created us in the very beginning, letting God help us to continue growing. Lo and behold, all those many years later, along comes Paul, and he finds himself addressing the very same issue that Moses has done. This time, though, it's not with false prophets or false gods. This time, it's with real flesh and skin people. The people in Moses' time are complaining because the false gods are not raining down prosperity upon them the way that they would want to. But this time, Paul's gods are real, and they're vying for power. They want something for their own pleasure. Paul comes in and he hears something like this. I really like what that preacher is saying. That suits my needs. So let's kick this other one to the curb. Well, what happens when we do that? When one preacher after another preacher, if all we do is like the preacher, you're going to keep kicking us to the curb all day long. Paul says, don't do that. That is not what we are after. everybody seems to be looking for their own Garden of Eden. And Paul says, stop. Stop bickering. Stop arguing. Stop this divisiveness that you have within the body of Christ, because it only leads to death. And what God wants for us is to be led to life. The life that He created for us, the life that He modeled for us in Jesus Christ. Choices. How many of you think we have too many choices these days? No. There was a Time magazine article that ran several years ago, and it was about choices. And this is kind of the gist of it. It starts out and it says, choice is good. We Americans consider it to be a measure of our freedom and a source of innovation and prosperity. Riches flow to the person who builds the better mouse trap or the better computer mouse. And yet, a grocery shopper blankly staring at hundreds of varieties of toothpaste may reasonably conclude that there is just too much of a good thing. I want you to be honest. How many of you stand in front of the toothpaste aisle trying to decide which toothpaste you want this time? Generally, it comes down to the best coupon that I have, and, you know, who knows what I'm doing to my teeth. But it disturbs me that I can't just find toothpaste and go with it. Too many choices. The article goes on to say that our society just really may be placing too much responsibility in our hands for more and more decision, and what it's doing is leading us to paralysis. We have so many choices that we don't know what choice to make. And yet, Moses, all those thousands of years ago, reminded people of faith that there's actually only one real choice that we have to make. The choice that will give us life, that will have us being in our moving, in our being, in our living. There's one way that will not cause paralysis for us. But you got to choose. Are you going to follow the Lord? Or are you not? Are you going to choose to be obedient? Are you going to choose to be disobedient? Are you going to choose life and prosperity? Are you going to choose death and destruction? Are you going to keep looking for that perfect Garden of Eden and griping and complaining and mumbling and grumbling until you think you have found it? Or are you going to allow God to garden for life, to garden your life, no matter what your circumstances are, whether you believe you are in the Garden of Eden or not? Moses told the people, it is a decision that's within our reach. We can do this, folks. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But he said, we can do it. Back then, just as it is now, the world dangles all of these temptations in front of us. We are faced every single day with whether we are going to let things interfere with faith planting and watering and growing. Moses said, will you choose life or will you choose death? And Paul says it in much the same way. Will you, first of all, will you make the decision that you need a lifesaver? Paul says, do you need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior? And once you say yes to that, we call that salvation, and it cannot be taken away. But then he goes on to say, now we have to spend a lifetime choosing how we are going to follow that decision or not. And that is when we have to put ourselves in places where we can have seeds planted, we can be watered, and we can have God continue to grow us. It's an ongoing decision. Are we going to open ourselves up? Are we not? Because God is the only one who can take what you learn in Sunday school, what you learn in your Bible studies, what you learn in prayer, what you hear in worship. Any preacher can't do that. Any teacher can't do that. But God can help you grow. Paul says that when it comes to that growing process, we are very much human. There are parts of our faith that we're going to work through those pretty quickly. We say we need a Savior, we believe that, and when the blessings of making that decision come our way, faith is easy. But then he says there are parts of our faith that are going to take a lot of time and a lot of maturity for a long, long, long time. What happens to faith when we face adversity and trial and hopelessness? He tells them, you got to drink that milk before you can eat the meat. There is no sin in having a beginning small seed of faith. But we've got to at least have that in order for us to grow. And Paul also says we've got to have one another. We don't grow in isolation. He says, you know what? Apollos and I, we're on the same team. We're on God's team. If we're really going to grow in faith, we have to work together for God's good. And the only way that we can do that is not by following a preacher, not by following a teacher, not by following a priest. The only way we can do that is to look to Scripture and to look at what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Because the truth is, each and every one of us have our own Exodus story. We have our own Egypts. Sometimes we have wandered around in life in the deserts maybe a little bit longer than we wish we had. And we stand poised at the edge of the promised land. And then something more appealing passes by. And we decide that we want that momentary thing rather than that garden for life. The Exodus story doesn't end with Deuteronomy. It doesn't end with the death of Moses. It is an ongoing story. It is my story. It is your story. It's the story of Scripture. And choosing life is a decision that we make every single day. It doesn't matter how many years you've been coming to church. It doesn't matter how many Bible studies you have done. It doesn't matter if you have a theological degree or not. What matters is that you wake up every single day and you say, I want to follow Jesus. So in your own personal lives, where can you put yourself, where can I put myself, where there will be new seeds that are planted? I pray that one of those places is in worship together, but there are other places. Find that place where those continuing seeds can be planted in you. And then how are you going to allow yourself to be watered? The seed is there, but you got to do something with it. How are you going to live out the faith that has been planted in you? And first and foremost, as we sang this morning, come ye thankful people, come. How are we going to live a life of thanksgiving to God, who through the gift of Jesus Christ and through the Spirit continues to give us growth and puts us in a beautiful garden right here, right in front of you, right now, not temporary, not a Garden of Eden, but a garden for life. The choice is yours, and the choice is mine. Are we going to choose life in Christ or not? Amen.
Would you stand with me and we'll say what we believe using the words in the bulletin.
As we prepare our hearts for prayer, I give the same invitation. Come, ye thankful people, come. I want us for just a moment of silence to lift up all of those things for which you are thankful to God. If we come each week and we bring only our concerns, we shortchange God, because God is good and we need to say thank you. So in the silence of your own hearts, I ask you to lift those thanksgiving to God, and then we will join together in common prayer. Let us pray. Generous God, we give you our thanksgiving, first of all, for loving us enough to even give us a choice. And we pray that out of gratitude for the very gift of the breath that we breathe every single day, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving. God, we are grateful that you let us choose whether we will be your people or whether we will not. But we are more grateful that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, the reminder that your love is greater and wider and deeper than anything on earth that seeks to keep us from you. We're grateful for that little seed of faith that is already in us. And we're grateful for every opportunity that we have to come before you, to give you the opportunities to grow that seed in us, whether that seed grows out of blessings or out of adversity. You are with us in all things. God, we are grateful for the gift of medicine, doctor, hospital. We are grateful that Betty has had a place to go that she has had wonderful hands to care for her. And we ask now that you continue to heal her and that you give her comfort and comfort to her family. We are grateful for friends, for families, for communities, and for communities of faith, God, when tragedy strikes. We especially this morning lift up the Carney family and Anna and Charlie and Tori and Nina. God, we are grateful that even in our grieving, we don't grieve alone. For those who have experienced the effects of weather, even as we enter that season where weather will be affecting so much more, we are grateful for projects like Project Homecoming that responds to those needs. And we trust, God, that even though those walls have been taken down, the spirit of giving and the spirit of rebuilding life and hope and building has not died. And so we are grateful for that. We give you thanksgiving, God, for Fred and for Charlene and for their family, for the faith and the dedication, for the love that they have shown you through their work and their ministry here in this congregation. For all of those thanksgivings that we have lifted in our own hearts, we pray that you are pleased today. And we pray that we will leave this place with our hearts a little more grateful, a little more light, a little more full, and that perhaps that small seed has matured just a little bit, because we do trust in your goodness. All of these things, God, we ask and we pray in the name of the one who is a gift of life for us, your Son, Jesus Christ. And so together we say, gifts of our finances, our prayers, our lives, none of which we have earned for ourselves, but everything that has been given to us out of gratitude and graciousness by God. May we receive God's tithes and our offerings.
everything in heaven and earth.
Grumbling or griping, generosity and graciousness. We have a choice every single day. I think we all know which one God wants us to choose. And if we're having trouble choosing the graciousness and the generosity, then perhaps we need to put ourselves in more places where those seeds can be planted, where they can be watered, and where God can continue to let us grow in this beautiful, beautiful thing we call the garden of life. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day and every day. Amen.